You know, when we were worshiping this morning, I do need to tell you that I got a word from the Lord, and what the Lord told me really to speak to all of us this morning, and there's certain ones in here that need to hear this right now. And this was it. He said, tell them what is done is done. Now, I'm not going to explain in depth what the Lord means. I don't have to explain this, but what I want to tell you is, this is the meaning. What God has finished, what Jesus has accomplished, what has been completed, according to His word, by His promises, what has been fulfilled, what is already given, is done. Amen. It's done. And it is up to each of us to receive by faith what He's already given. It's already yours. Jobs, business, healings, prosperity, happiness, joy, peace. And you know there's some more. The Lord is really, I'm telling you, I have felt the presence of God up here this morning. I don't usually start cracking up during the worship, but don't you know that God so longs for us to have revival in our hearts and in our lives and in the church regularly. And don't get, he's talking about, you know, when I say revival, we get a picture in our minds of the building looks like it's on fire and the fire department's coming, and it might be like what happened in LA all those years ago, or some other area of revival. Don't picture revival according to what you think. It will be recognizable. It will be the Spirit of God. It will be the Holy Spirit. And it will be the way that the Lord wants to do it. He wants to move, or us to see, the visible manifestation of revival in our hearts, our lives, and in the church. And there's a purpose in this. But I'm telling you, if we can grasp a hold of this and really understand in our hearts what the Word says, God has already done and already given is done. There's no taking it back. There's no what ifs. There's no condition. There's nothing we have to meet other than receive it. And there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. We've seen creative miracles. We've seen lots of stuff, okay, without going into it all right now in this little church. And there is much more. We haven't even begun to mine the wealth of the kingdom and the benefits that Jesus has paid for us. And it's time to stop limiting Him based on what we see or feel or the circumstances around us, and start seeing the results tangibly in our lives. Amen? Amen. Can we agree on that? Okay. Praise God. What's done is done. You've got it. You've got it. Start believing it. Okay? Start acting, moving like it's done. Okay? Okay. Praise God. Let's pray. I want to finish up this series today we've been on called This is Kingdom. And this is going to be a little different than what I've normally done. But I really feel like this is what the Lord wants to cap it off with. Okay? All right. Lord, I want to thank you for today. For what you're giving to us, what you're putting into us, what you're doing in our hearts, our minds, and our lives. For the revelation and the understanding of the truth of your word and the reality of your word to us and how to do this the way you want, not the way we think, but the way you want, the way you have laid out, so we can begin to see the successes and the victories and the conquering that you've already given us in every situation, because we're doing it your way. Thank you for piercing our hearts with your word and the reality of your word and helping us, Lord, to get it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, again, the series is called This is Kingdom, and today the title of this message, the final message of this series, is called The Power of the Body. The Power of the Body. You know, a lot of times, this is what maybe you don't, but we think about the body of Christ in a maybe somewhat of a negative way. I heard somebody go, uh-huh. Because I have the body of Christ in a crippled way, the body of Christ in an incomplete way, the body of Christ, or let's say it in reality, the church, in a particular vein that isn't the will of God, or it isn't the truth. Because herein lies the problem. When we begin to think that way, see that way, and I'm telling you, I've been where you are. Not you. Let's talk to the podcast here. I have thought, I'm going to share my thought. Here's my innermost thoughts. I have sat out in congregations before. I was never always a pastor, right? You all know that? Okay. I went from construction to supervision to project management to Bible college to here. A lot of long road of learning and consequences and victories and consequences based on me. Here's my thought. I'm sitting out there in the chairs, never a pew, never experienced that, because I was not raised in a Christian household. I didn't experience all the, you know, the typical religious stuff. But I thought, you know, why can't the guy pick it up a little bit, his speed? And, you know, tell me what, there's some things I need to hear. You're not covering the bases that I need. Or, you know, this place doesn't really make me feel too good. How come everybody's so cold in this church? Nobody reaches out to me. I'm telling you, this is me. This is where I've been. I'm not talking to you. This is confession time. Okay? I thought, you know, I wish the pastor would make some changes in some of these things. How come we don't have the programs that everybody else does? So I'm being real. I have thought that. And my picture, if you will, of the body has been powerless, crippled, sorry. A mess, a joke. God, how could you? What are you ever going to do with this? I'm a part of it. And then it dawned on me one day that I am a part of the body. Oh my gosh. And I began to change my thinking and my perception of the body. And I began to study things out. You know, to me, studying about the church was like taking a theology class. Boring. If you've ever studied theology, it can be super boring. Because it's a lot of commentary, a lot of man's thoughts based on, it's not necessarily, some theology is not based on the word at all. Consequently, there's no life in it, and it makes it boring. Now, until I started, my attitude about the church was made it really boring. Until I began to realize that the reason there is no life, no power in the body, I was part of the problem. I was. The reason that the body looked like it did to me is because I was a part of the problem, not the answer, according to the word. That was a wake-up call. So this week, I was meditating on my new identity. I do this periodically, and I just go, wow. I'm blown away. Most of you know where I came from. And as I was doing that, let me take you here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, because I'm going to kick this into high gear now. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Paul writes to the Corinthian church that looks a lot like today's church in the U.S. Brethren and sistren, do not be children in understanding. Now, when he says this, first of all, and I want to tell you the Greek context of this. When he says, don't be children in understanding, don't be babies, which is what I was. And don't get me wrong, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not all the way there. I'm still in the process, and I will be until I take my last breath. Don't be a baby in understanding. Don't be a baby in what you judge, in what you picture, in what you think, in what you understand. Don't be a baby in this. Because the rest of the scripture is, however, in malice, or I'll just leave it at that, in malice, in detriment, be babes, but in understanding, be mature. Now, I can speak to you all as mature believers because I believe you are. So I don't ever really consider anybody in here a baby. I don't speak to you like babies because you're not. I consider you adults in the Lord, spiritual adults, okay? But what Paul is saying is in understanding, in what you judge and what you think and how you consider things and the decisions that you make, be mature. We don't think like this. When we think about the body of Christ, we think about the church, we think about this area of where we see all these issues and problems, and we've been on this whole series of polarization and the division and all the things that go on and dealing with people and God's value to everybody. You know, I talked last week about somebody, a man, if the man in a beard came in with a dress and high heels and walked down, what would you think? Would you see the value in him, not her, him, that God puts on him? I'm not saying we're affirming sin. Now, you all know that, right? Because we never will. But do we see the value God puts in people? Because all of this transfers over to how we think about and how we look at the church or the body. In understanding, be mature. Okay? Now, would you turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to do a little bit of flipping around. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And he, God, the Father, the head of it all, put all things under the feet of Jesus. Everything. He put him over everything. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The power of the body. With Jesus as the head of state of the church, the power of the body either gets crippled, impotent, lacking, deficient, based on us and our understanding, our maturity of our perception of what he says about the body and our part. The church, or the body, was divinely planted. This is a God thing. This isn't a man thing. This is a God thing, divinely planted. And when the Lord planted the church in the book of Acts, it was expected to flourish and grow. That's the expectation. Until he returns. It's to operate in grace and be equipped continually with power, supernatural power, and authority to do everything he's told us to do. Jump over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. Ephesians 5, 29 and 30. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. No one ever hated his own flesh. When we detest, or this is what this means in Greek, when we detest the body for where it's at, we are actually detesting the body of Christ. We are detesting or hating the church. This is the hard part, because this is our perception. And I'm speaking to me. When I spoke against the church and all the things that I could see were wrong, which in my mind eclipsed the things that were right and good, I detested the body of Jesus. And I was the problem, because I did not, in maturity, perceive things correctly. How we treat the body, how we speak about the body, how we consider the body. I'm talking about the worldwide body and the local body. It's everybody that names the name of Jesus, but it is particularly the worldwide and local. Those are the specifics of how this works. How we treat, speak of, and act toward the body is exactly how we treat Jesus. We might as well consider we are personally treating him that way. I got to tell you, that was awfully convicting to me. And I, in the past, have been guilty of that. Because of my faulty perception and immaturity. Just to show you how everything that we do positively or negatively affects Jesus personally, in Acts chapter 9, when Saul was on the Damascus Road, heading out hard charging to kill and jail and persecute more believers in Jesus. And he got hit by the blinding light, the truth, the reality, and the presence of God. And he said, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to him, "I'm Jesus. Why are you persecuting me?" Because essentially what he was doing to Christians, to the body, he was doing directly to Jesus. This is the part we don't see. We look at flesh, we look at people, we look at problems and issues rather than looking at the positive and being a part of solutions. Now again, I'm speaking to those who are mature, and I consider that you all know this and realize this. This is all a part of what we're doing, is to reach out into our community now. This is the first time we've ever been really able to do this after being here a year. And invite people in who may or may not know or understand what we do. Maybe totally foreign. And they may cripple or try to the body in some ways. It's up to us to help them. Help them grow. Help them understand about the body of Jesus. How this works. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. And Jesus loves his body. He doesn't hate it. He loves it. 1 Corinthians 12, 26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We're all in this together. This is what we don't see so much of the time. All of us are in this whole thing because this is kingdom. Together, regardless of the areas that we may not agree. And there are areas that we don't agree. But if Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and the only way to eternal life, then great. We have the basis covered for agreement. I don't care if you're doing rituals and making funny signs and kneeling and standing up, and I don't care. Or if you feel obligated to do particular things that are works-based, I don't care. If Jesus Christ, in your understanding, is Lord and Savior of your life, we have common ground. And we're all together in this. Okay? You understand what I'm trying to do in this whole series is break down any last barriers that we might have to people that may not understand the grace of God and faith and God's unconditional love the way that we do. So that we know how to reach them and what this is all about, because this is kingdom. We're all in this together. Now, let me tell you this. What church is not? Church, or the body, is not a club. You know? It's not a club. We're not paying for membership. You know, we don't have a golf course out in the back. Or, you know, we're not a rah-rah. You know, it's all about, you know, we're not, that's, when I say a club, I mean a place where it's exclusive. And you can come if you are like us. And if you believe the same way we do. And if, that's a club. That's inbred. That's sick. That is not the body. That is not all together. Okay? Church is not a club. And I might as well bring this up. And this is kind of funny. Years ago, when, not long after we planted the church, somebody came to me, and you'd see them, I mean, I would see them every once in a while, and this person, they'd come in once in a while, and every time they would say, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm a floater." I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, I go to different churches and different places, and I'm just kind of a part of the body, all over the place, but I'm a floater." And church, or the body, is not a bunch of floaters. Because what this person did was, if there was an event, they went and joined in some other place. Or if there was healing offered, then and need was for healing, then they'd come to us. And if there was a speaker in some place over there where they could get a need met, then they were over there. And if there was some fellowship in a particular place that they liked the fellowship, they would go there, because this was all about getting their need met wherever they wanted. But there was no connection to the body. Church is not a bunch of floaters, okay? That's not God. That was just flesh, all right? Now, have I got time? Yeah. When I lived in Vegas, you all know this, when I lived in Vegas and I grew up in Vegas in the Lord and I spent all those years there, I was part of a church, a Foursquare church. And many of you don't know about what Foursquare is, but it's a spirit-filled church. They just have some legalism. And I had surrendered my life. I mean, really fully surrendered my life. I was newly divorced, fairly newly divorced, and newly single. And I had been out there judging the church and correcting everything in my mind that needed to be corrected. And I went through this transformation when I began to understand about the body of Christ and how this works, and that I had a part to play. And my heart, I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I don't know what I can do, but I'll do something for you. I want to. And what began to develop in my heart was this just, I can't even describe it, but an ache. For those who had been through divorce, those who had or were single, or those who were single parents because of the struggles that they go through. And I went to my pastor and I said, I want to do something for them. I want to have a group. And he said, be warmed and be filled. Go for it. He gave me no instruction. He gave me no direction, no help, no anything. And I didn't have a clue what to do. I just know that I had a heart to do this. And my life was the Lord's. And I have a part in the body. That's what I knew. So I embarked on this journey, like Johnny spoke about this morning. And in this journey, I shared with single people what my heart was. I said, we're going to have a Bible study. We're going to start there. And then I realized somebody had to teach it. I said, oh God, bring the teacher. Bring somebody to lead this thing. Guess who? I didn't have a clue how to do this. Not one bit. And everything I learned step by step in this process, I learned. I got a book, and I said, let's go through the book. And you know, in spite of how lame it all was, they came. And it grew. And it grew. And it grew. And God began to bring people in to help. And it became, in essence, a ministry, a church, in a sense, within a church that affected all of Las Vegas. And I'm not saying that lightly. Now, only God can do that through somebody like me. Are you kidding me? But you see, I realized I had a part to play in the body and I didn't have a clue what to do, and God just said, step. And I did. I made myself a part of the body. Instead of being a observer or a watcher, or I became a participant based on where my heart was. There's a lot of things I didn't understand, but everything began to change in how I viewed the body from that point on. I was back in the mid-80s. So it was a long time ago. My desire changed in serving God to serving others instead of what was all about me. That was the reality. Matthew 25, verse 40, don't go there. But Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, whatever you do for the least of these, you do to me. Don't forget this. Because this is, you know, can I use a term that, because we're not a legalistic church. This has got to be a part of our mantra. You understand what I'm saying? This is a part of our life. This is a part of being in the body. Whatever we do to the least of these, we do to him. First Corinthians 12, verse 12. This is another perception view here. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We forget and forget and forget and forget that we are all one. This is how splits and denominations happen. They are not God. I'm not saying denominations are not God at all, but I'm saying that all these factions that separate are not God, because we've lost focus on the one body. Whether you speak in tongues or you don't, if Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, we're one. Did you know that I read this article this week in Iran? You all know about Iran, right? When you think of Iran, you think of, ooh, nuke them. I'm not the only one that thought that, right? Wrong thinking. You know that in Iran, it is the fastest growing church in the world now, in Iran. Mostly through women and led by women. Underground. Really underground. Iran. Fastest growing church in the world at present. Part of the body. So what is the body? The body is the kingdom, here and now. The body heavily depends on each one of us to do whatever part God gives us, whatever it is. It's a place where we attend or we come together. We make ourselves viable. That means usable. We have a place that we come and serve and participate and fellowship, and we're here, right? And we do life together. Now, doing life together is not always pleasant. Because stuff happens in the body, right? But we work things out together. This is kingdom. This is the word. We work out our differences. We stay united in a common cause of the gospel. We're a community to belong to grow up together. That's inclusive and instructive. Where we serve, love, worship, and experience the Lord together, and where we care for each other in spite of ourselves. This is the body. This is kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now this in the Greek is not speaking of directly only the gifts of the Spirit, in case you're familiar with this chapter. This is talking about, Paul is writing about the natural gifts or the creative gifts that God has put in each one of us. We have natural abilities and gifts in us that God has put there. And we have the abilities of the Holy Spirit also in tandem. Now, speaking about both, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries. And let me get you cleared up on this. Ministry, all ministry means in the Greek is service. That's it. Not like I'm some special, carry my Bible, you know, I'm going to slip out the side door so nobody can talk to me kind of thing. Ministry is, I'm here to serve. That's all. This is kingdom. This is the body. This is our mentality because we're mature. This is how this works. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, the head of state over the body. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. It takes all the pieces and parts of the body to work together to make the body function as Jesus on earth. That's what this is about. Regardless of what we might know, okay, let me say this, okay. What I know about healing, I have practiced for years, right? You all know that, okay? All right. And I see miracles and healings and signs and wonders, and I've seen things pop, bang, bang. I believe that prosperity is mine. I've seen prosperity come. Oh my gosh. If you knew how much I make, my salary, you'd be like, how do you make it? And it's by choice. We started that way because the church was new. And my board has been trying to give me raises for years. And I said, no, because God has provided far greater. Now, I believe that prosperity is mine. And I see it. So, in those areas, I can teach and impart and share and do. But there's a whole lot more than that, right? Lots more. Every person in this body has a purpose. And purposes change and grow and they modify and they manifest and they're all kind, they're different at different times, and it isn't just speaking in tongues or giving a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. There are calls that are ministry calls, which are the five, what we call a fivefold call in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, which is part of what we do for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the body of Christ. That's you all. It's all of us together. But I can go around and heal people all day long or get people healed all day long, or I can teach prosperity, I can see miracles happen, or I can tell devils to go, and they do. Because I believe that I have the power of God in me. But it's not just that. There's so much more. This is the body with all the pieces and parts and all the variations and all our depth of growth, wherever it might be, doing something to make the body reveal the kingdom of God and the face of Jesus Christ. The reason the body does not work so well is because people in the church, I'm talking about the church as a whole, not this church, because most everybody here serves, don't do anything. That's why the body's crippled. Because your gifts, your ministries, our ministries, aren't being used. And it hurts the body. Because you're not there. We all have a part to play in affecting each other. The purpose of the body is supposed to be our individual purpose. It's not what we can get. I mean, we all need to receive, right? Rosie and I, you know, I asked you all to minister to us a few weeks ago because we were just being beat to death, felt like. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. And I got to tell you, we were hurting. And I've never asked the church to pray for us, minister to us. But you know what? We needed to. And you all ministered to us. And I am so grateful. We're through. We're through. And that's what I wanted to tell you. But you ministered to us. And Lonnie and Afoma, that was a blessing. They were kind of like your hands and feet to us. That's how the body is supposed to work. Okay? Purpose of the body, God's design for the body, is supposed to be our individual purpose. Not just like a floater who comes in and says, I'm just coming here for this and meet my needs and then I'm going to go someplace else. And nah. Purpose of the body is to come and do and serve and help and minister to each other in a particular way or whatever it is what we have, like I did with the singles, whatever we have and saying, here, I don't have much and I don't even know, have a clue what I've got, but doing something because that is God's purpose for the body. The body is ineffective, and this is what I keep getting to. This is what changed in me. The body was ineffective in my judgment because I wasn't doing anything. I was just sitting there judging, seeing all the crippledness and all the woundedness and all the offenses and all the stuff. And our church went through a split. And I mean, based on offense and flesh and everything. And you know what? If everybody had done their part, that never would have happened. Our picture of the body, we've got to remember this is kingdom. And the body has no power if we allow it to be crippled by not doing our part. We all have a part in it. And this is not to bring condemnation. But what I want to do is encourage all of us. You have things in you, gifts and abilities in you. And I'm going to tell you, when you get to be a pastor, this is what God does. With a call, just like the prophetic, Lonnie, right? As a prophet. God, it's like he opens things up to you and shows you things about people. How you can help or be there or how you can love in a certain way or where there might be a need, because it's all about being a shepherd, right? I mean, that's what this is about, what I'm doing. All of you have gifts for the body of Jesus Christ. All of you. If you don't know what it is, come talk to me. I'll help you. Or ask somebody what they see. Or if there's a need, you know what? I don't have a clue sometimes what I'm doing, but the grace of God, the ability of God, takes me right in there and I go, okay, well, you got the way to do this, so whatever it is. I'm telling you everything we've done. Many of those things that we've done as a church in the last 8-9 years, I didn't have a clue. How do you want to do this, Lord? Make this step. Okay. And he does it. And this is how this works. Okay, I've belabored that enough. Purpose of the body, when we're kingdom-minded, is to be diverse and relational. The body is God's provision to the body itself and outside the body. The body is to be protective and safe for the hurting, whatever way that takes place. The body is to be a place to grow and practice personal and spiritual gifts. And if you make mistakes, so what? We're stepping out. A place to love, a place to serve others outside of ourselves. The eyes, the hands, the feet, the love, the compassion, and the generosity of Jesus. And finally, it's a place to belong in the kingdom. Now, when you think about the body, and you think about your perception or perspective of the body of Christ. My prayer is that I hope that this changes for all of us and continues to change, that we see the body differently. And wherever you are in the body, if you're a visitor, praise God. Go back to the body where you're from and help that body. If you're here and this is the body that God has instructed you to be a part of, great. Be a part of it. Be committed. Go where you're called. Go where you're called. Ronnie has, you know, I got to tell you, Ronnie and Mary, and I don't often mention names on the podcast, years ago, God said to them to come here, that their provision was here, and they drive 80 miles one way every week. And faithful and committed and serving. That's just an example of making the body healthy and making the body work. Be active, be supportive. This is the how-tos. Commit to that body. Don't be a floater. We don't have any floaters here, okay? But don't be a floater. Share your gifts, learn and apply and grow up and help others do the same. Don't leave. Here's my final. Don't leave and disconnect from the body unless God tells you to. And that doesn't happen in offense. That doesn't happen. Sometimes God calls us to a body that we don't want to be in. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because we have a purpose and part in that body to make that body healthy. Yes. And to make that body accomplish what God's, it's part of bringing this body together to do what God's called it to do, to make it work right. In power, that's the power of the body. Because God has in you and with your gifts something to supply to that body. There's a time and a season. Okay? Other places, God is not always going to be everything you want or everything you see. I mean, we need things for kids, for teens. We've never had it. I want it. You know what? We don't have it. Somebody, someday, will step in and we'll begin to be able to have teens. Those kind of things. It's not always going to have or be everything you want it to be. It just isn't. Bodies are imperfect. But when everybody does, fulfills their purpose in the body, and as we grow together and do life together, the body gets healthier. You begin to see things manifest and change, and the power of the body begins to take place within and without the body. Stand with me, please. This all makes sense? The power of the body. Is everybody doing what God's given them to do? All of us. So, anybody need prayer this morning? Miracle? Healing? Change? Breakthrough? Job? Anything? Or are you just hungry? I gotta let you go. I don't mean to hold you. I'm sorry for going over. Prayer team, where are you? Lord, thank you for today, for helping us to step out into our parts, whatever they might be, and make your body healthy and moving in power for real. And Lord, I've been guilty of it. Help us not to judge where we see problems or issues, but to be a part of the solution. In the areas that we can. Help us think kingdom from now on in every way and every area instead of what's going on around us. We love you, Lord. I want to thank you for your presence and all you're doing in all of us by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need something, get up here. They're going to minister to you. You will receive.